Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join. Shop your favorite brands and save. Sephora, Boots, Argus, Temu, Adidas, Trip.com. The list is long. Save online at over 550 stores. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose bank transfer or PayPal. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, get a new outfit. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to rakuten.co.uk or get the app. That's Rakuten. Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join. Shop your favorite brands and save. Sephora, Boots, Argus, Temu, Adidas, Trip.com. The list is long. Save online at over 550 stores. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose bank transfer or PayPal. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, get a new outfit. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to rakuten.co.uk or get the app. That's Rakuten.
Hey folks, we're excited to share a preview of a new podcast that we think you're going to love. It's called No Such Thing. Now, No Such Thing is a show where three best friends and journalists settle their dumb arguments, and yours, by actually doing the research. Hosts Manny Fidel, Noah Friedman, and Devin Joseph start each episode with an argument based only on their gut feelings. Then they go out into the world, investigate, talk to experts, and conduct some experiments. Finally, the guys bring their findings back to the group to see if they can change minds, enlighten each other, and move past their emotional truths. Find No Such Thing on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. New episodes come out every Wednesday. Check it out. No Such Thing.
I'm Noah.
This is Devin.
I'm Lily.
In today's episode, a question that nags at me every time I sit in one of their chairs. Are dentists scamming us? We dig into the dental industry's surprisingly dark history.
A lot of the replacement teeth were from corpses.
We hear from someone who uncovered a dentist drilling healthy teeth for profit.
How did I let this happen to me? 28 root canals. I must be stupid.
And I talk with a startup founder who's trying to blow up the entire industry.
Going to the dentist is one of the biggest scams of our modern time.
No such thing. All right, so in the studio today, we're joined by a friend of the pod, a licensed therapist, and a writer of the Reality Test newsletter, Lily Kaplan.
Hi, guys.
Welcome. How's it going?
I'm so happy to be back.
You may remember Lily from the Do I Need Therapy episode. So we're glad to have you back for a discussion that has nothing to do with therapy.
I love that.
But Lily, actually, specifically, we wanted you on this episode because at Manny and Mia's baby shower a few weeks ago, at the after-afters, we were all gathered around the table. And I was complaining about dentists and saying, hey, I think they're trying to scam me. I think dentists are scammers. We had some other people in the group saying, yeah, dentists are scamming us. And we had one dentist defender at the table. We had one person who said, guys, they're doing what they think is best. They care about your oral care. They are trying to prevent things from getting worse. And that was you, Lily. You were defending the dentist, which was I thought an interesting take to have. Because I feel like brave. Dentists have, as we'll talk about in this episode, a pretty negative reputation. But you came in there, you know, supporting them and speaking up for them.
Giving voice to the voiceless.
Exactly.
So I think that my take on dentistry is a bit of a defense, a bit of a yo-yo from where I used to sit.
Wow.
So I've struggled with a bit, more than a bit, of what one might call dentophobia throughout my life. So I've been super, super, super avoidant of dentists, which has caused some problems for my teeth. And I had to get like a whole bunch of work done on my mouth, which was pretty painful and terrible, and I had to really overcome my fear of dentists and going to the dentist. I find it a very vulnerable experience to go to the dentist. So I think coming off of that, like I was not, especially that night, and probably still, I'm not emotionally prepared to have the view that dentistry is a scam, because I was so far in the other direction of like, I will not go to the dentist. I cannot go to the dentist. I can't handle the dentist. That the dentist did become truly necessary. And now I would say I'm of the mind that, like, you should go so that you don't end up like me two summers ago. Wow.
Yeah. Noah, talk us through what are your dentist interactions been like over the years?
Over the past few years, none.
Okay.
I'm booked to go soon. Long wait list.
Which was news
to me, because in the past I've been able to hop right over there. So I didn't have any trauma with I never minded going, but I never it was just more of an inconvenient thing to do, but I did feel like my teeth were cleaner after.
So basically you're going for cleanings not regularly, as we're hearing.
It's more laziness than anything else. You know, than like a distrust.
Okay, so the reason we're doing this episode is because of my experience with the dentist. For most of my life, up to high school, I had pretty limited interactions with dentists. Never had cavities, besides when I was like a kid. So I was just going for cleanings until my senior year of high school. Well, we're transporting ourselves to the bowling alley in New Jersey, where it's the final frame. It's me and my friends. We're going head to head, and I am tied for last place. And if you're a bowling head, you know the one rule of bowling with your friends is you don't want to come in last. So I just need to hit one to not come in last. So I said, okay, I just don't get a gutter ball. That's pretty easy. I don't know why in my mind, you know, I think I want to be a little bit of a jokester too. So I was like, let me granny bowl it. So are you familiar with granny bowling?
Is that where you do it between your legs?
Yes. You put two hands on a ball. You sort of get your legs nice and wide, and you sort of pull it the ball between your legs and then push it out.
Yep.
So I did that, and I slipped. Fell on my face because my hands were up. Remember, when you granny bowl, your hands are going.
Sure.
So they're above my head and chipped 3 or 4 of my teeth. Like on a diagonal. And I know it sounds horrific. It did not hurt at all.
Wow.
I knew adrenaline. Immediately that my teeth came out because I could feel there was a gap. But I wasn't bleeding. And there was no pain. And the worst part is I went over the line.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that.
So it didn't even count.
So you also lost.
I also lost.
You lost more than your 4 teeth.
Yeah. Little did I know, the trajectory that would put me on, because replacing teeth is very, very expensive. So even with insurance at the time, I ended up having to spend like $3,000 or $4,000 out of pocket for it. And the thing that people don't think about when you get dental work is that it's not a one and done. If you get teeth replaced, you have to get those teeth replaced, if you get it done right, like every 10 years or so. So, and you're paying thousands of dollars every 10 years or so to get those teeth replaced. So I've gone in to just replace the crown, but my dentist has been really, really trying to get me to replace all of my fake teeth, because she's like, I just want to do them all, make it all look, you know, the color will match better. I can make them match better. And I was like, okay, theoretically, that sounds fun. Yeah. Like, let's find out. How much is that going to cost? She's like, okay, they run through the insurance. They get an estimate. It's like $7,000 or $8,000. Okay, now let's just do the one.
They don't have like a bundle deal.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah. I was like, well, you know.
Think if they're already, all the tools are out,
you're
it's just
already
a matter
in there.
Of.
If it's only going to be slightly more expensive, you know, like, why not do it?
Well, then they're all on the same timeline.
Exactly. So I told them no. Then, it, you know, they're trying to convince me you can do a payment. I was like, I don't care if it's paying it right now or over a year. I don't want to pay $7,000 or $8,000 on teeth just for fun.
Buy them on Klarna?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah. I'm
sure buy now, pay later. Uh-huh. Yeah. It's like, I'm still paying. So, no, thank you. So, they, you know, they seem to get the message. I come back. And the thing when you're getting teeth replaced, you have to, as you know, when you're getting work done, you have to go in multiple times. So I had to go in like 3 or 4 times for this crown. And every time I would go in, it was as if I had not had the conversation with them that they were only doing the one tooth. Mm. So they would, down to the last time I was going in to get my permanent in, the dentist was like, okay, so this is going to take a bit longer because we're doing, you know, all these teeth. And I was like, no, we're not. So it just felt, and I had liked, I've been going to this dentist for like 2 or 3 years now. I had liked that dentist up to this point, but it just, to me, felt very scammy in a way of that, like, I've been very clear with you that, and I was pulling the, I can't afford it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, that's going to shut it down. Like, you know, you could say whatever you want about like the cosmetics of it. I was like, I can't afford this right now. I just cannot afford to do it. And the fact that they were still bringing it up every single time, I was like, something's going on here. And I've talked to other people who've been like, oh yeah, I've been going to the dentist for years. It's been fine. I go to this random dentist. He says I have all these cavities, so I have to get all these cavities filled. So I guess, with this episode, what I wanted to look into is there a dental standard? What are dentists actually doing when they're in your mouth, right? How do they determine you need a cavity filled, right? Is there some sort of standard, or are they just freestyling? And then I also want to deal with this idea of dental insurance and why, with all these experiences that I've had, I've always had dental insurance and I'm still paying thousands of dollars out of pocket. Why doesn't dental insurance cover more of my oral care? So we're going to take a break, and when we get back, we're going to walk you through my deep dive into the world of dentistry. We'll hear about its history. I'll talk to a dentist who found out a colleague was giving his patients unnecessary root canals, and a chat with a guy who says his startup will blow up the industry. All that after the break. All right, we are back. We have a lot to get into in this episode. But first, I wanted to try to learn how the hell we got here. So I called up journalist AJ Jacobs for a history lesson.
Well, I like the premise because, for instance, I went to the dentist and they told me I had to get my tooth out. Like, how am I supposed to know whether that's true or not?
So AJ used to write this column for this magazine called Mental Floss.
And the column was called The Bad Old Days, because the premise was that the good old days were not good. They were terrible. They were dangerous. They were racist, sexist, smelly. They were just horrible, painful.
And every month, he would cover a new topic. And one of his most memorable months was when he covered dentistry.
You know, I don't like going to the dentist, but I certainly don't like reading about the history of dentistry, because it is just horrible.
So let's say it's the 17th century, you're having an issue with one of your teeth. AJ said you would typically go to a barber surgeon.
Which was a combination of a barber and a surgeon, and dentistry was often lumped in with surgery because you're taking stuff out of the body. That was basically surgery.
And an important thing to note is that during this time period, doctors did not perform surgery. So the church viewed surgery as being unclean because you were touching bodily fluids. So barber surgeons were seen as being more similar to something like a blacksmith. So back to our role play. If you have a toothache, they would rip your tooth out basically with no anesthetic at all. Or
maybe they'd give you some whiskey.
Or something even weirder.
For some reason in the 17th, 18th century, medical practitioners were obsessed with enemas. There's not a huge overlap between your teeth and your butt, but they just were like, let's shoot things up the butt and see if that helps the teeth.
So barber surgeons were basically your best case scenario back then, because there were also some straight up grifters.